We have a God who loves us so much that he sent his son so that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. What a beautiful, awesome gift. It's a gift we can receive every single day, a gift we know that God provided through his son Jesus. And Jesus, as he came to this earth and started his ministry, he was someone who went around the villages and the towns and met with people so that he could become their companion and they could become his companion. And we continue as we go through our spiritual walk and our spiritual life. Each and every one of us know we have a trusted companion, don't we? Right? We have at least one trusted companion, God himself, right? Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So all we go through, no matter where we are, any moment of the day, night, or everywhere in between, we know that right beside us at all times and right within us, because of the power of the Spirit moves in us all, right? We have a trusted companion. That means someone we can trust implicitly with all of our dreams, our cares, our worries, our concerns, and everything about ourselves. We know we can be vulnerable with that God, and God will still be trusted to love us no matter what, right? Got that this morning? You understand that, correct? Yes. Because here's the thing. I don't know about you, but every once in a while around the holiday season, I kind of drift back to my childhood, and I think about the good, the bad, and the ugly of that time frame for me. And I don't know if you ever do those kind of things, but, you know, certain things remind you of certain things, right, obviously. And you start to think back of who you were, where you were, and what you were sometimes in the past, right? We sit down and we still eat a turkey. That's kind of at least our holiday last that just happened, Thanksgiving, right? That's something that's a tradition for some of us. And it's the same bird, but very often it's in a different context sometimes, isn't it? Right? In the sense that the people that you hang out with now or the person that you are might not be the person that you were then. Correct? Way back when? You know what I'm talking back? A few years back for some of you? Right. Okay. So, and, you know, when we think about that, I think about Jesus' walk on earth, how, who he was and who he hung out with. I'm sometimes amazed by that, aren't you? Who he hung out with? I find it very interesting all the time. And we're going to go to the book of Luke, and I'm going to explain to you why I'm saying that this morning and what the message is for you us this morning as well, so that you can know and believe and trust that, one, Jesus is your trusted companion. But on the other side of that, we as a body of believers, we're to be each other's trusted companions as well, right? Now, some of us, or you, have issues, just in case you didn't know that. And I did say us. And so consequently, sometimes we don't know who we can trust, right, in people. And sometimes you don't know if you can trust yourself, right? Or you don't know who you can be trusted with or who can, right, to be trusted with you. You follow what I'm saying, right? So I want you to know that there's hope this morning, however. Isn't that good news? So far, so good. We're going to have some good news this morning, right? I know that we can all become trusted companions for each other, can't we? Why? Christ lives in us, right? So no matter where we came from, no matter what we were taught, perhaps, even in the way we were taught in some religions or families or whatever the case might be, we can all be different now, can't we? Yes? And we can learn to trust one another, can't we? Yes, we can, of course. Let me show you why. Let's go to the Bible this morning, and we're going to go to Luke, and I think I'm going to begin at, let's see, I guess I want to start with Luke chapter 8. I'll go there first. And it's going to be actually 8 verse 1. I'm going to begin there for you. Luke 8 verse 1. Not long afterward, Jesus began a tour nearby cities and villages to announce the good news concerning the kingdom of God. So what was Christ's purpose on earth? To proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, the gospel message, that there is forgiveness and mercy and grace and love and peace and joy and healing and restoration and revelation and resurrection by being involved with God's world and God's kingdom, right? So he came to earth to pronounce good news. So he was the good news pronouncer, right? That's why he came. And he went from town to town to village, meeting with the people. People needed good news. We kind of need some good news, don't we? In our world today, We could use some really good news right about now, right? Sure we could. All of us could, of any kind, right? So we still continue as a church. We're here to proclaim good news because that's what we're commissioned to do. So he did that. He took his 12 disciples with him. So he had 12 companions with him, right? We know who the disciples were. A guy by the name of Peter, the fisherman, kind of a loudmouth. He had Thomas, a little on the doubtful side. We had, you know, James and John, who thought they needed to be elevated higher up in the echelon of God's kingdom, right? They were better than other people, right? And those are just some of the Philip. Remember Philip? He kind of said to Jesus at the end of Jesus' life before his death, show us God while you're here. Would you mind? And Philip, in the meantime, had already seen all kinds of miracles. So he was a little on the thick side in the head. So he wasn't exactly like, couldn't get the point, you know, whatever. So these are the kind of people that Jesus hung out with, right? Kind of people like you and me, right? I don't know which one of those you are, or maybe we're a multiplicity of all of those people, right? Wrapped into one, who's to say? Anyway, and it says, along with some women he had healed, from whom he had cast out evil spirits. So look what happens when people walk with Jesus. You see, as he meets people, what happens to them? They get healed. They get healed. And he casts out evil things, things that bother them, issues that they might have. Those get cast out of them. So he's a healing God from a physical respect, but also an emotional and or psychological. Do you see that happening here, right? So he's traveling also with some women that he casts some stuff out of. Well, I don't know about you. I can tell you this. God has cast a lot of things out of me in the course of my walk with Christ. And I know that we are the church of spiritual enrichment and growth. Consequently, God's going to keep casting some stuff out of you. So if you kind of hear some noises once in a while going, ting, 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 that is God casting some things out. Just kind of giving you a clue to that. Or if you happen to wake up one day and you feel peaceful and be in a place of faith and serenity and calm, God's cast some stuff out of you, hasn't he? Right? Right. So we see that these are the women that travel with him. And among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. So this woman had some major issues, right? 7. And we know, sometimes you've heard about the 7 deadly sins. Sometimes some theologians think that's representative of Mary Magdalene. I just think she had more issues than the rest of the folks, is kind of how I see it. You know, for it to be numbered like that, 7 is a complete number, right? We learned about 7s a few sermons back, right? So 7 is meant she became what? Whole. So guess what happened to Mary Magdalene as she traveled with Jesus? She became whole. She became complete. She no longer had any stuff going on. Don't you pray for the day that that happens to you and to me? Yes, we're going to pray for that this morning, aren't we? Right? So we see that Mary Magdalene was now complete, changed, restored. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. So there were some women of means there as well, which is really kind of unusual back in those times. So these were folks that traveled with Jesus to support him and to also be a support to the people around them. So what are we learning this morning so far? Well, I look at it this way. Jesus saw these 12 disciples. Some had some stuff going on, like Peter, James, and John, perhaps, right? They're his inner circle later. And he also had Mary Magdalene, who was someone who became whole. And we know that Mary Magdalene was also the first person to see Jesus, right? When Jesus resurrected. So this tells us, you know, what we can see through this, spiritually speaking, is when God changes you, you get to see things in life that maybe you hadn't noticed before, or maybe you just God opens your eyes to more things, and you see things differently once you know you've changed, right? So I look at it this way also. If Jesus could have had these kind of folks traveling with him, what does that say about the rest of us? We fit right in. We are the perfect traveling companions for God, right? Now, some of us don't realize we've been healed. Some of us don't know we're complete. Because our mind tricks us sometimes, because it does take us back to when we were. And it kind of, you know, brings us back there, and we remember that and all that pain or whatever it might be. But we have to remind ourselves and tell ourselves and come to know this and affirm for ourselves, that's my past. That's where I'm from. It's not who I am or who I've become. Right? So we're going to learn that. That's my past. It's where I'm from. It's not who I am or who I've become. Right? That was the chant, I'm sure, that Mary Magdalene had when she... How do you preach good news to people? You just go around saying, God is great, God is wonderful, God loves you, right? You do that, right? See, I think you do it in other ways. You say, I was a drug addict and I'm healed. I no longer take drugs. I was an alcoholic. I don't even pick up a bottle. I had another kind of disorder. I had this, I had that, I had physical ailments. I really couldn't stand most people to be around them. Oh, did I just say that? No, I didn't say that. Because people meant pain. If you grow up in a dysfunctional home, you can't trust many people or any people sometimes, especially the ones you're supposed to be able to trust, right? And then we get stuck in that, don't we, sometimes? But wait, no. That's my past. It's where I'm from. It's not who I am. It's not who I've become, right? Right? We can trust people in the now based on who they are, right? Right? And if they have Christ in them, what kind of companion would a person be that had Christ in them? You see why I like church so much? I like coming here. I really do. It's not just so I can talk and wave my arms and things like that. It's because this is a place of peace. And I'm around people that I know have peace in them and have love in them and generosity in them and mercy in them and compassion in them and hope in them, right? And some of them were Mary Magdalene's, 17 demons, some of them. But that's just speaking about myself. But they can be trusted now, right? And don't we all need that in this world today? Don't we? So let's move on to chapter 9 of Luke, because you're going to see, first of all, when Christ becomes your companion, you learn compassion, you learn peace, harmony, serenity, right? You learn to get along with others. You care more for others than yourself, right? And you become Christ-like, sacrificial, willing to give, willing to forgive. That's what being a companion of Christ is, and Christ is your companion. Now, chapter 9 of Luke, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. See, here's the thing. Once you become like Christ, then guess what happens? You get to do all kinds of great things for other people. Like, you get to be like the disciples that Jesus, they were, well, first of all, we know that they were imperfect, right? So did you have to be perfect to be a disciple of Christ? No. Did you have to have a perfect past to be accepted by Christ? Did you have to have your act all together? Did you have to kind of have all your ducks in a row? Did you have to be like the most loving, wonderful, positive, awesome person in the entire universe? No, you get to be you. How cool is that, right? You get to be you. He becomes someone that entrusts his spirit within you. You learn to trust that God is with you, and you learn to trust the power of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. And you do all kinds of miraculous things because of God's spirit in you. Does that not sound exciting? Does that not sound like how you spread good news is by helping other people get healed and restored and given hope? Of course, right. So here's what happens. Next, verse 2. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the coming of the kingdom of God. So we're going to, the coming of the kingdom of God. What's the coming of the kingdom of God? Guess what's coming when the kingdom of God comes? Peace, love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, joy. That's what's coming in the kingdom of God. When's the kingdom of the God coming? It's coming now. How's it getting here? We're bringing it because we are the companions of Christ. Christ is in us. What comes with us? What gift do we bring to this world? Everything Christ is. See, we got an Advent candle. We're celebrating Jesus is coming. Yes, he, you know, we're going to celebrate and remind ourselves of what he brought to this earth. Love, hope, joy, right? Light. He brought that. Why? So he could just bring it here, right? Leave it behind. He brought it to do what with it? To put it inside of us, right? To imbue it upon us all so that each and every one of us walk around with peace, love, joy, and light, right? And don't forget hope. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying this morning. We are the light of the world. We are, right? We are trusted companions of the light. We're trusted companions of the hope of God. We are the kingdom of God on earth. You understand how powerful you are? Where everywhere you go, you shine light into the darkness. You bring all these wonderful gifts. Do you have some issues? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Can God still use you? Absolutely. Don't think he won't. I'm just full of poetry this morning. Anyway. So you're going to tell everyone about the kingdom of God, but you're going to show them that by your actions and words and how you live. And then you're going to heal the sick. And this to me not only is physical sickness, but emotional sickness, spiritual sickness, sick of heart. There's so much loneliness, so much despair, so many people lost today. They need healing, right? That's a sickness that's pervasive in our society and world today, right? So many breakups, so many broken relationships, so much conflict, right? Some people actually have a companion called conflict. You know those people. We need to cast that demon out. Some people live in chaos. You ever see chaos? You don't know any chaotic people? Oh, boy. You should have been in my house when I was a kid. Whoa! We had the three C's in my home. Chaos, conflict, and confusion. And now we have Christ the Cornerstone Church. Different C's, right? Because we have Christ now with compassion and caring, right? Yes, we do. There goes my sermon. I'll keep on going. So, but look what he says in the next verse. He tells the disciples, and I'm going to teach you this morning. Verse 3, don't even take along a walking stick or traveler's bag or food or money, not even an extra coat. Wait a minute now, Jesus. You're sending us out into these villages to go preach and teach to people and heal the sick. And you tell us to take what with us? Nothing. What happens in our practical mind when God is trying to tell you to do something great for him, right? Or we think of it in the church realm as well. We think about the practical of our church, right? How are we going to feed the homeless? How are we going to take care of the kids in the DR? How are we going to keep the lights on? How are we going to do all these things? How are we going to bring the kingdom of God to people? After all, we need the practical, right? And God says what? You need nothing. Nothing but me. Him. Jesus Christ. Can you live without nothing? I don't know. I need my iPad. I gotta have my cell phone. Food, water. We need those things, don't we? Now, why do you suppose Jesus said to them, you need to bring any of that with you? What was he teaching them? Faith and trust in God. What did the disciples do when they went to all those villages? Have any idea, just in case you want to read ahead in the scriptures by chance? What do you think happened? They had no money. There weren't any Walmarts open, and it certainly wasn't Cyber Monday either. So they had no access to a computer. What do you think happened to those folks? They were fed and clothed and provided for. And people were healed. The lame began to walk. The blind could see. They healed the sick. What did they take with them? Their constant companion, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not telling you you can go to Walmart or Sam's later today and stand them in front of you and say, and get your big screen TV that's on sale or whatever, and you stand in front of the clerk and say, I have Jesus Christ with me. Go to buy me this television here. I didn't bring my credit card or anything. God will provide. Although I do know, how many times have we needed something in this church? And somehow, some way, somebody, somewhere says, I have an extra thus and such. Oh, we needed that like 2 weeks ago. And there it is. You see how God does provide, right? Here's the teaching in this. We need to stop worrying about whether we can trust God to provide. That's the great lesson all of us need to learn about our God. God can be trusted. You know on your money where it says what? And God we trust. I don't trust my money. I trust God to provide money for the use of God's work in God's kingdom, right? But it's in God I trust. I don't trust whoever that is, Ben Franklin on a $100 bill. Or George Washington, I see more of him than I do of Ben Franklin. But but I do know he is on the $100 bill, I think. but point is, whose face really is on our money? Jesus. Jesus is, right? So I guess what I'm wanting to teach us today is a few things. One. If you have issues or if you've had issues in the past, today, right now, because Christ is in you, and if you ask Christ in you, and if you ask for God to heal a part of you that maybe isn't quite healed yet, what's going to happen, do you think? I'm going to be healed. That issue is going to disappear. And I'm going to be able to say, that's my past. It's where I'm from. It's not who I am or who I've become. Right? So that's lesson one, the Mary Magdalene lesson. The woman was totally changed and transformed by being with Jesus. Totally was. And many of you have as well. Maybe you just discount it from time to time. And maybe you don't even know about it. Maybe we could tell you, hey, you're different. The longer you hang out with us here at church, you're going to see transformations happen. You're not going to recognize people. I mean, they'll have the same face and everything, pretty much. But you're going to say, wow, they're different. Their spirit's different. Their way of looking at things is different. Their countenance is different. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Of course. And we also know this, that we need to take absolutely nothing but the trust of God with us wherever we go. And we can trust God that no matter what is going on in any of our lives, God has a plan. God is with us, and God can heal us of anything and everything. Particularly a sick heart. He can. That's the good news this morning. We're here this morning to give you hope. Have only positive expectations. Expect God to do great things for you. Expect God to do wonderful things for you. You notice the thing about I find so interesting with these disciples? He tells them to take off with nothing with them. And I love verse 6. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. There wasn't any discussion, although, I don't know, maybe Peter might have said something. Lord, how are we going to pull this off? Or maybe doubting Thomas that, I don't know. I'll go with you, but I doubt we're going to find any food or help anybody. I don't know what was transpiring in their conversations, because I only know your conversations from time to time, and you know your conversations with God sometimes, don't you? We stand up here and we say, trust God with everything in your life. And you say, amen. One amen in the whole room. I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. He's my trusted companion. And if I can't trust God in the moment, because life will happen to cause us to get a little on the shaky side, right? Life will continue to happen, folks. I'm not saying it's a bed of roses from his point forward. Don't misunderstand. There will be trials and tribulations to come. We are of the world and in the world. But Jesus also said, be of good cheer. I've overcome even the world. You don't have to worry about a thing, folks. So as you go about your time in the next few days, weeks, months, years ahead, know this. You have with you every moment of every day a trusted companion. And if you need to be reminded about that trusted companion, you have a bunch of trusted companions within this church who will gladly, gently remind you. You can trust God. And he will help you. He will help your family. He will do for you what you can't do for yourself. And even when you're down to nothing, as long as you have Jesus Christ, your God, you have everything you need. I love a church where there's new birth. And God continues to show us that life goes on. And even for any one of us, life continues to go on. Maybe in different form or fashion. And maybe some of us don't like the things that occur from time to time. And some of us cry out to God from time to time as well. But we have to remember these beautiful disciples and those women that traveled with Jesus were able to be changed, to grow, and to do remarkable, awesome, wonderful things for God's kingdom. So this morning, I give you the gift of good news. God can use you. You are a trusted companion of God. And it's just a question of what you will do individually and what we can do collectively to continue to show more people that God can be trusted, because we can be trusted because God's entrusted us. Amen. Amen.